Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. 5 years ago, Betsy Savage looked around her community of Hot Springs and decided it needed a boost in the arts department. She launched the nonprofit, volunteer-driven Southern Hills Community Theater as an outlet for local theater buffs to develop their talent and find their passion. Betsy Savage joins us now from Hot Springs with more. Hi, Betsy.
Hi, Lori. How are you today?
You probably had the idea more than 5 years ago. We should be clear. There's five seasons now of the theater company. When did it sort of begin as an idea for you?
About 6 years ago.
All right. Oh, you moved fast.
Well, God moves fast. I just hung on and went for the ride.
You tried to keep up. Before we get into some of the history of this theater company, the show opens tomorrow, HMS Pinafore. It's your first musical. Are you ready for the curtain to go up?
Well, at the same point, any theater company is, you know, at final dress rehearsal. It's the heart is in hands, and you're just kind of going, let this all come together, God. And it is. I mean, I'm just so impressed with our cast and the community band. It's just been exciting to see how everything's come together so well for this.
How big is a cast for a musical like this?
Well, in our case, we have 18 actors on stage, and I think it's 16 in the orchestra.
Okay. How long have the rehearsals been going? How long does that take?
For us, we did auditions mid-May.
Oh, wow.
And they've been working three nights a week ever since.
All right. Tell me about the production. For folks who don't know this this musical, HMS Pinafore, give us the elevator speech for it.
Sure. HMS Pinafore was first premiered in London in May of 1978 during a massive heat wave. So it's like, okay, we get to echo that this weekend, it sounds like. The basic concept in the plot is Captain of the Pinafore has a beautiful daughter. He's very class conscious, and she loves a common sailor. Mm. At the same time, he has tender feelings for the poor bumboat woman, but because of rank, of course, he can't let her know that. And then we have the First Lord of the Admiralty, who is the chosen person that the captain would like his daughter to marry, who's considerably older and very pompous, and she wants nothing to do with him. And Gilbert and Sullivan put all of this stuff into a blender, set it to music, and poke fun at politics and romance and class consciousness and anything else they could think of, including the Big Hut. Probably the most famous song that most people even now would know is "He Is an Englishman." Mm-hmm. And the whole point behind the song is, sure, Captain, you should let Rafe marry Josephine simply because he's English. So it's been a very fun show to do. We've set it kind of, like 1910-ish right in there, very loosely, far as costuming and everything goes. But it's just a lot of fun, and it's clean family fun. Someone can bring, six or seven-year-old kid to see this. Child would probably be pretty much engaged because it is a lot of music and movement and silliness, and we have the bad guy and everything.
Right.
They would probably hold their attention, and yet you don't have to worry that they're going to hear something or see something that
you don't have to explain it later. Exactly. Now, did you grow up with sort of musical theater in your family, in your blood? Tell me a little bit about your early experiences with cast albums and more.
Sure. When I grew up in Southeast Michigan, and my folks had season tickets to the Fisher Theater in Detroit, which is where all the Broadway shows would come through. Mm. And so they collected every original cast recording they could lay their hands on, and I grew up listening to that music all the time. And probably by the time I was 5 or 6 years old, I knew I wanted to put on shows and be in shows and have all that fun stuff. And got my first chance when I was like in kindergarten. Here's the little kindergartners. We're all going to sing for all the junior high and high school age kids. Walked out on stage, and I knew then that's where I belonged.
At kindergarten. Oh, how fun. What were some of your early favorite cast albums from those days?
Hello, Dolly.
Yeah.
With Carol Channing. the Pearl Bailey one is also good, but I cut my teeth on Carol Channing.
Sure.
I love The Music Man. Those are probably the two that I would just, as a small child, can I hear this? Can I hear this? Can I hear this? I often went back to those all the time. My folks did have some Gilbert and Sullivan albums around. Pinafore, I'm sure, was one of them, since I'm like, going, oh, yeah, let's do this show. Okay. But I don't remember listening to it at that age, but I'm sure I did, just because they had all these things. They had Maine. They had Fiddler on the Roof. Here's Love. And those are just titles I can remember seeing. Right. My dad would hang up the album jackets on the wall. You know, that was kind of his shelf for them. And
oh, wow. So then take me back 6 years to this moment where you're starting to think, hey, why not theater, even musical theater, Shakespeare, something else? Why not that right here in Hot Springs? Tell me about that day.
Well, I was involved in one of the melodramas over in Edgemont, their little dinner theater thing, and cast for the villain 2 years in a row. And one night, it was the second year, and I was coming home from a late rehearsal, and I'm driving this road, and I'm going, Lord, I don't get it. Here is Edgemont with a population of 300, and they've been able to sustain a theater group for over 10 years. Here's Hot Springs with 3,000 people, and there's nothing. I don't get it. Why don't we have it? And the inspiration came from him that said, you start it. And so I argued with him a couple of months, like, are you sure you want? I mean, it's been, you know, a few years since I've done anything, even through our church in Kirkland, Washington. It's been years since I've been in college and took that play production 101 class. But it wouldn't let me go. The vision would not let go of me. And so I started asking around town, you know, the stores I shopped in regularly here at Sunny's and Ace, and I'd go, hey, guys, what do you think? And they're like, oh, my gosh, that would be so cool. So I began the research. How do you put together a theater? I knew the vision was to have something that, should I move on, whether I move to another area, drop dead, whatever, I wanted the theater to continue. I didn't want to do it for me. It had to be for the community, and that's the only way it works. Oh. So I put together the whole idea, drew together a board so that the chain of command, so to speak, would be there, the succession plan would be in place, that the theater would move on, be past the 3 or 5 years that most groups in this town that had started lasted because they had burnout.
Okay.
And, you know, we've got things in place, and they're already planning 2018 and looking beyond that.
And how are you avoiding that sort of high burnout stage at the 5-season mark?
A lot of prayer.
Sensing a theme with Betsy Savage here.
Really, that's the only way I can do it. I'm well connected in our church here in town, and I have a strong support network outside of the theater.
Yeah.
I have interests beyond that. I just recently retired from my job, which helps. Mm-hmm. I have since stepped down as president. We have a new president, so that whole piece is off of my plate. And my husband and I have already planned our exit. Mm-hmm. That we're moving on. We seem to be being called to a season of mobility and to go full-time RVing for a while.
All right.
But the succession plan is in place. They've elected the officers to replace my husband and I. And like I said, they've already got the next season planned and are excited about the future and about carrying on the vision.
What's your advice going forward that you think really needs to be done?
For the theater?
Yeah. What's the sort of parting wisdom that you want to leave them with?
Parting wisdom is don't let the vision die.
Yeah.
If you keep looking at the vision, if you keep seeing that big picture, and the big picture is huge. It is not just Southern Hills Community Theater, but to see groups spin off that will do a regular season. It might only be once a year, but they will continually do the light opera, the musical comedies, The King and I's, the Pinafores, Pirates of Penzance, Hello Dolly, whatever they choose to go with. A group that spins off and does maybe Shakespeare in the Park or just Shakespeare in a storefront, whatever. Groups that will spin off and do maybe some mature, more mature content type pieces, because there is an audience for that.
Right.
But just to continue to see it grow and blossom, eventually I would love to see it goodness, I may have to come back and bug them on occasion. I am still on the board.
Hey, guys, the RV back in town.
Exactly. It's time to start looking at maybe developing some classes and some children's theater. And it's just very exciting, the potential that's here. It's part of the creative DNA of this town. Hot Springs used to be destination theater with like 5 or 6 opera houses at one time.
Right.
It can be that again. And if it happens here, it can happen throughout the hills. I would love to see people go, why go to New York? Let's go to the Black Hills of South Dakota. There's theater all over the place.
We've been talking with Betsy Savage, founder of Hot Springs Southern Hills Community Theater, and you can see HMS Pinafore starting tomorrow. It runs July 13th through the 15th and the 20th through the 22nd. Betsy, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Laurie.